Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Annie Cyrus is a survivor of the Islamic regime in Iran, living under Sharia. She was beaten and imprisoned several times before escaping to Turkey. She was forced into a marriage at the age of 13. She made her way to the United States, and as a U.S. citizen, Annie is exposing the threat of Sharia in part through her organization, Live Up to Freedom. And she's an advocate for truth, liberty, the U.S. Constitution, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're a human rights activist, and one of the things that you do with your organization is to rescue women from Sharia. Is that happening in Iran? Is that happening in the U.S., here in the Chicago area?
Iran, U.S., and everyone in between. We have had rescue cases from Iran. We have had rescue cases from Afghanistan. We have had them from Bosnia. And we have had them from Los Angeles, California. So, unfortunately, the Islamization is spreading fast and far. So we have rescue cases from everywhere.
So when you talk about rescues, what's that entail without going into too much detail?
I received the case first. Of course, I have to vet it, make sure it is a true case. It's not a trap. It's not infiltration. And when we come to conclusion that the victim is a real victim, normally we face either political prisoners, minority religious prisoners like Christians, Baha'is, Jews, or with specifically girls and women, we face forced marriages to Muslims. For example, the Los Angeles, California case was an American Christian woman who somehow fell for a marriage to a Muslim man and then started facing reality until she could get the right lawyer to the right judge to understand it's not a cultural difference, it's actual abuse. We had to go in, remove her from the house, not much of her belongings, whatever we could get with us. And if it's outside of country, after we vet the case, then we start prepping for transition. And I want to make sure everybody understands we go through proper channels. We do not break laws. We do not kidnap people. They're all ask us to go and rescue them until they get to safety. And then from there, Lord helps them and we walk away.
All right. Now, when I think of Sharia in the United States, I think of the Detroit area, Minneapolis. But is it expanding elsewhere? Is it expanding to the Chicago area?
It absolutely is expanding everywhere in America. And I recently actually covered this on, as of right now, I have been able to prove that 18 cities in the United States of America have been completely conquered, including Detroit, Michigan, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We have Islamburg, New York. I mean, that name should give it away. Now, on that list, I actually have Chicago as the upcoming next fully conquered city. As of right now, it has not been fully conquered. However, it's what I would call a stage 8 out of 10 stages to be fully conquered.
How do we stop that?
Okay, there are a few ways. The number one, and this isn't me saying to distract from mission or look the other way. However, one of the biggest issues Chicago is facing is activists are so busy trying to reverse the damages done by Democrats, which is the red side of red-green axis, that they haven't been paying attention to the Muslims. So some of the, you either need to bring in more activists who can help also counter the Islamization while you're countering the socialist Democrat, or some of the activists, some of the voices, some of the organizations need to also start focusing on Islamization. That is actually how they grew so fast in Chicago, because everybody's trying to stop the socialist, communist, Democrat. So step one is you need to start paying attention to the Islamization of Chicago. Number two is you need way more education, not just in Chicago, I would say across Illinois, even though Chicago is my birthplace in America, right? This is it. Even though I have not been a Chicago or Illinois resident for over 22 years, I'm not giving up. You need more education. You need to bring more people like myself, not necessarily just me, but the ex-Muslims and anti-Sharia movement speakers who have the courage to come and speak one-on-one. The videos are great. Books are fantastic. But when you're in person and you can talk to people, answer their questions, that is more effective. And also people of Chicago need to start attending more events when it's not just talking about Democrats, but rather talking about Islamization of their city, their town, their zip code. I think those are the very first steps to take. Also pick up the phone, call your legislators. I know everybody's like, what's the point? Sometimes it works. Call them and inform them, why do we have so many Islamic halal stores in Chicago? Because every time you have a new one open or the existing one continue working, your money is paying for their zakat, which is Islamic tax. That is illegal. There should be no secondary foreign taxation in America, but you're actually giving tax to Muslim businesses. So call your representatives after you're educated, so you have this information. Call them and tell them that why are you allowing illegal, unconstitutional actions of Islam taking place in my city?
Can we get that type of information from Live Up to Freedom?
Absolutely, absolutely. So at Live Up to Freedom, we have different platforms. I have the writing platform when it's my Substack, and I actually write all of these. I break them down. I put the receipt and evidence. All you need to do is print it, send it to your legislators. We also have the video programming where I actually do them live so I can answer your questions. Or you can just submit your questions through my website or my email, liveuptofreedom.com or liveuptofreedom@gmail.com. Send me your questions. I'll answer them on videos or writing. That way you can get educated or have your questions answered. We also do podcasts, not regularly, but we also do audio for those who rather put their headphones on, walk around the house, get things done while listening.
What warning do you have for Republicans who are courting the Muslim vote, just like President Trump did in Michigan?
Well, I would give this warning to every American, because here's something I have recently come to realize. Enough of the party lines. At the end of the day, we are Americans. I'm a proud American, and I am proud because of the Constitution that is in place that, either you like it or not, was built on Judeo-Christian values. So let's not even give a warning to one party versus other. I will say to all Americans who are running for offices, local, state, or federal, doesn't matter, these votes are going to be used against you in blackmail. I don't know how much time we have, so I'm going to briefly touch on this.
Yeah.
If you notice, recently Trump administration and President Trump himself has made some questionable moves around some of the Muslims, some of the convicted jihadists who have served 13 years in federal prison in U.S. because they were convicted of not just training jihadists, but also funding jihad and being a jihadi himself. He's sitting at the Board of Faith Department in the White House. You might ask yourself, why would President Trump do that? President Trump is paying the price for all the favors every administration collected from CARE, from Dearborn, Michigan, from Imams, from now it's the blackmail. You continue appeasing us, or buildings are gonna blow up, airplanes are gonna be hijacked, shopping malls are gonna be blown up again. So these votes could become dangerously weaponized against you.
Wow. So the Muslim vote, you want it, but it could come with strings attached.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You contend that Islam is not a religion. What is it in your view?
Islam is a system of life. Now, more specifically, it's a cult that has different departments. It has the military actions, it has the family actions, and then it also has the financial and political cult. Unfortunately, not one word to use, but at the end of the day, it is definitely a controlled system of life.
Controlled system of life. What's that entail? Give me a couple ideas what that means.
Sure. For example, it is mandated and dictated to every Muslim kid as they grow up that they have just two choices. They either hate and kill those that are not Muslims, or they will be killed by Muslims themselves for aligning themselves with non-Muslims. The control of action and emotions come to play immediately. They control your feelings. If you feel anything except hatred and wish of death on a non-Muslim, then you automatically become a target, possibly killed yourself. That's just emotional part. Let's talk about the financial part. I just hinted at it, the taxation. You have the zakat. As just as a Muslim, you have to pay portion of your income toward jihad. You're mandated to participate in jihad through your wealth or your life. So if you don't have what it takes to go blow yourself up, then you have to pay for somebody else to be trained to go blow themselves up. So that's where the financial control comes in. As far as military, I don't think I need to give you an example. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, IRGC, Hamas, Hezbollah, there you go. That's all Islamic military. And then, of course, at the end of the day, there is the taking away your humanity. At age 9, you're a woman. At age 14, you're a man.
That's crazy. Let's turn to the new academic year here in the U.S., in our public schools. There's a lot of indoctrination going on, and that includes Islamic indoctrination. Mm-hmm. How are they finding their way into the government school system?
Easily. We go back from running to cameras and saying Islam is a religion of peace. Now we go to churches that came out and say, we believe in the same God, they believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, we should coexist and start interfaith dialogue. And now from there, the legislators came out with, well, it's not technically a law yet. However, if you say anything bad about Islam, if you mock Muhammad, if you say anything about Muslims, you are a racist, you're Islamophobe, you're a bigot. So over the term of 20-some years, they trained American minds into don't say a word, coexist, or else. First, they infiltrated our government, then they're infiltrated our churches, and then they're infiltrated our schools. Because remember, if the next generation doesn't even know what we know about them, there's less battle for them to fight.
Well, how do parents, how do students fight this if it's coming to their school system?
So parents, number one, pull your kids out of the school.
Okay.
Pull your kids out, do homeschooling. I understand it's a lot of work. I understand not every individual can do it, but you can do it in groups. You have neighbors where all the kids grew up together. And that way you can keep your kids safe from the brainwash. Also, you force the schools to make changes. Showing up at these meetings are fantastic. However, I give you this example. There is a store that you want to boycott. You boycott. You don't go with signs in front of the store asking for some changes. No, you just boycott. When they lose enough income, when they lose enough sales, they will come and say, okay, what do you want to come back and purchase from me again? That's how you get schools to stop bowing to Islamization and infiltrating your kids' future. Pull your kids out.
Well, if you don't do that, and let's say your school has a hijab day, wear hijab day, or they bring in Islamic speaker, how do you react to that as a parent, as a student?
As a student, depend on the age of the student, because we need to keep in mind, you know, some kids are a little younger. If they're at an age where there's enough wisdom and maturity involved, I would excuse myself and leave the school if I didn't know ahead of time. If I knew ahead of time, I would not show up to that day, to that speaker or that hijab day. I'll say this very carefully. If it's not too much trouble and if it doesn't have a too big of a effect on the kid, as a parent, I would send my kid to school that day and I would make sure my kid is proudly wearing his or her cross, gold cross, showing it, also carrying their Bible with them. Even when they sit down to listen to the Muslim speaker, they have their Bible on hand. Trust me, the school is going to send them home before they get to that room.
There you go. We'll take a time out and continue our conversation with Annie Cyrus right after this.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're Socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
Join Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. To reserve seats for this very special evening, go to IllinoisFamily.org.
I do get called every name in the book, but what's scarier to me is not standing firm in the truth.
Riley Gaines, a 12-time All-American collegiate swimmer, praised by President Trump for her fight for fairness in women's sports. Like IFI, Riley is advancing truth.
It's actually compassionate to tell the truth. That's what love is.
An evening you don't want to miss. Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet. 7 p.m. Friday, November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. Act fast to reserve seats. Go to IllinoisFamily.org. IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm joined by Annie Cyrus with Live Up to Freedom. Annie, you have a lot of stuff going on. Tell me about a couple things.
Yes, I always try to be very productive. So one of the things that I'm very blessed, honored, and humbled to say is now officially Live Up to Freedom Ministry is active. So a lot of people who always wanted to support us, well, because we were not a ministry and gifts were just gifts and not considered tax deductible, they couldn't. So now we officially accept tax deductible donations. We are a ministry, and Lord willing, with everybody's support and prayers, we're going to actually expand our educational side, where we're going to be releasing ebooks, pamphlets for parents, for residents to like literally just print and go. So then we're going to give them material through education that they can use to fight back what's happening in their area, from school to even churches. We're going to have material where you print it, you take it to your church, and you can have an open discussion about it with your pastor or the rest of the people who are coming to your church. Another amazing news project is XAmerica News. It is not a network. It is an online social media platform for all voices that have been censored one way or another, either for telling the truth or for not siding with the right person. So we're accepting applications. Any podcaster out there who's looking for a new home, XAmerica News could be your new home. We don't have restriction. We believe absolutely in Constitution and, of course, Judeo-Christian values. I'm sorry if you're anti-Semite, your show will have no room in XAmerica News. And last but not least, I have expanded my writing, of course, that I figured a lot of people prefer to just look at the evidence right in front of them. So thankfully, my Substack is growing, and I'm publishing pretty much daily, on daily basis, we report on history of jihad in the world. So people will not have the ability to forget what happened today under Islam, in which country, how many people were killed or injured, so we can stop the narrative of fading away their barbarism.
You brought up if you're an anti-Semite. Well, we've got one running for mayor of New York City. What do you think about that whole situation? I think this is very, very dangerous. Your thoughts?
Okay, I'm going to say Mamdani. Being anti-Semite, I never thought I would say this in my life, but it is the least of our problems with Mamdani. Mamdani is what I've been warning my fellow Americans for almost 10 years. He's a walking proof of red-green axis. He's openly an Islamist socialist, one of the most dangerous combinations you could ever have in your life. It means he doesn't just hate Jews, he doesn't just hate Christians. Altogether, he hates the existence of our freedoms, because that's the socialist part. For anybody who's familiar with socialism, the first thing is you shouldn't have any freedoms. You shouldn't have anything. Full control. Add Islam to it, it's pretty dangerous. And the moment he got his foot in the door, he encouraged who? Omar Fattah in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who's also openly a Muslim socialist. This is a movement, as I said, I've been warning for 10 years. They've been trained, they've been groomed. You'll see more of them pop up. You're going to see them in different cities, most likely the top 18 cities that I named as conquered cities. And I want to be very clear. This isn't me trying to make anyone scared, because as Christians, we're not to fear. But remember, when Islam conquers, reversing it becomes, well, as of today, it has been impossible. There are no post-Islamic countries. Every 50 country that was conquered by Islam has a state Islam to this day. Now, the socialists and communists, some of them collapsed, most of them from inside. When you have the combination of both, whatever it takes to make sure these people don't come to power would be ideal.
And if he should win in New York, I think the traditional Democrats will say, ah, this is the path for victory. And his ideas will just spread throughout the Democratic Party, and that will be what they run on. Let me ask you about your home country, Iran. Following the Israeli and U.S. military action, can the Islamic regime hold up there and withstand this? Or will we see regime change soon?
Unfortunately, based on what United States of America did, the Islamic regime is just fine. So to answer your question, their survival fully depends on the next step that U.S. government takes towards them. If we continue throwing them more oxygen, they will continue staying in power. Most of us, Iranian Americans, were not happy with the result. We were not calling for a ceasefire. Iranians inside Iran weren't even calling for a ceasefire. However, the longer this ceasefire holds and the longer we keep negotiating with them and possibly lifting more sanctions from them, absolutely, they will stay for another 46 years to fully fulfill their century of power. But if we come to our senses, put the sanctions back, stop all negotiation, it will make them desperate enough to try to attack Israel. And Lord willing, Israel can finish what they started brilliantly. And that will give people of Iran the chance to topple the regime that was days away from being toppled.
So if you have regime change in Iran, does that mean a return to the monarchy? What's the best path forward?
No, not necessarily, because as of right now, myself personally and many other, probably close to 60% of Iranian inside Iran and outside, we are behind our crown prince Pahlavi. However, he has been very clear. And by the way, just in case your audience didn't catch that, he is the son of the late Shah of Iran. He has made it very clear that he has no interest in monarch. If we all want him back, he's not going to go back in as king of Iran to continue the Pahlavi dynasty. He has released a 100-day plan day after the topple of the regime, and the entire plan is revolving around a temporary transitional republic until people can take a breath, decide what they want after that, and then country can continue. So I think Prince Pahlavi is a great option. Beside the fact that he's very experienced himself, he's very familiar with cultures that are needed to be familiar with, like America and France and also Iran. We also, as of today, we have our queen who's well and alive. She built Iran side by side her husband to become mini America in the Middle East. She can do it again. So with her experience, wisdom, and knowledge, and Prince Pahlavi's willingness to become a temporary government, that is the best option Iranians and Middle East can face. However, that is not an option that Western countries are going to welcome.
What are you hearing about the Christian underground church in Iran?
They are growing faster than the government can shut them down. For every one underground church that the regime finds and shut down, three more opens next day. It is by far, I don't think I've ever heard of this speed of growing of citizens, people, and the courage pastors need to open these underground churches. I've never heard of it in the history of Iran to this day.
What could Christians here in America do to help those Christians in Iran?
I'm going to plead for the same thing I did earlier to Chicagoans. You need to pick up your phones. You need to call your congressman or woman, and you need to be very clear that without getting involved in another war, you want them to stop getting involved in the business of Middle East altogether. Because remember, Iran's regime isn't just Iran's regime. Iran's regime is behind Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthis, and all of them. So every time we jump in and buy them ceasefire, it's a time that not just Iranian Christians. Look, in Syria, the new Al-Qaeda barbarian regime slaughtered almost 30 doctors and nurses. They were all Christians. There are Middle Eastern Christians who we can support and help by putting pressure on our government here to stay out of Middle East and let Israel deal with the issue and conflict. If they need our military support, they're more than welcome to purchase weapons from us. They have the training, they have the manpower, and we will sell them. I mean, we always do that, don't we? So make sure you put pressure on our government to stop buying ceasefire for all the wrong guys in the Middle East.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up here, Annie. You came to know Christ after you became a U.S. citizen, and I heard you on another podcast say that one thing that kind of stuck in your mind was the fact that with Christianity, you could raise questions. You could have doubts. You can't do that with Islam.
Oh, absolutely not. Yes. Now, with Islam, you cannot ask question, end of the story. You cannot question Allah. You cannot absolutely question Muhammad. And if you ever try to question or debate verses of Quran, immediately you shall be killed. You're not allowed to question anything. You're supposed, the whole point is submission. Blindly, you submit. Whatever Muhammad did, you do. If you're a woman, you do whatever Muhammad's wives did. That's the end of it. If you try to reform it, if you try to question it, if you try to mock Muhammad, the result is always death.
Well, that's not the case with Christianity. We have hope. Well, tell us once again about Live Up to Freedom, how people can connect.
liveuptofreedom.substack.com, liveuptofreedom.com, or liveuptofreedom@gmail.com.
That's Annie Cyrus. Thank you so much. God bless you. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. We have a big banquet coming up November 7th at Denolfo's in Homer Glen with none other than Riley Gaines. You'll want to hear her. So go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, click events, or give us a call at 708-781-9328. We would love to see you there. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.